Good morning, I'm Pastor David, and welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. We've been talking all week and going to finish up this morning on the Trinity. It's such an important thing to spend a little time understanding because it grows your trust that the Bible is true, and it also helps to make sense out of so many other important teachings in the Bible so that you can find that it's the ultimate resource for life. So we're going to be concluding that discussion today. I want to, on this Friday, welcome you to church. If you don't have a church that you're attending, if you're nearby or not, if you'd like to visit anytime, we'd love to have you at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray. And I also preach, that's at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, and I also preach at 11 o'clock at First Baptist Church of Fairfax. And you can ask questions about that, where, how to find it, those kinds of things. Just email me, pastordavid@fairfaxfbc.org. And you can be someone who's looking for a church, or maybe you're just someone who wants to check things out. You don't need to be a Christian even. We would love to have you to just come visit and check us out. Same thing is true for our Facebook page at Trust the Bible. Maybe you don't really trust the Bible. You have a lot of questions. You're skeptical. That's fine. We'd love to have you to be part of our community and ask questions, interact, maybe comment, and be part of the discussion. That's on our Facebook page. Just do a search for Trust the Bible on Facebook. You'll find us right away. There'll be a summary of this week's program and programs from previous weeks on there, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. Well, I began last time to tell you that there are no good analogies for the Trinity. In other words, here's this teaching in the Bible that there is one God, and yet the Bible also teaches that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and these three are all distinct, they're all persons, and yet there's only one God. And so are there any analogies to that? Can we say, well, it's like God is like this? No. Some will try. Some will say, well, God is like ice. It can be frozen. It can be a liquid water. It can be turned into steam. Yet that doesn't really capture it because God doesn't just change from one form to another. He is eternally God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's never a time when God the Son did not exist. There's never a time when God the Spirit did not exist. So all analogies like that break down. But what I did begin to tell you yesterday is there are some illustrations that show that the idea of a Trinity is not logically impossible. Some things that just help us see it differently. So we talked about animals, that you can see that a person has a soul. You have a soul. When you die, this physical body is not all that is you. An animal, well, there's going to be differences of opinion on that, but you could probably see how someone at least could think that an animal is a being, is a creature that does not have a soul, that does not exist after death. Now, I'm not saying anything about the issue of what happens to animals when they die. I'm just saying you could see how that could be. So you can conceive of a being like an animal that has zero souls, and then a different kind of being like a person, a human, that has one soul. So there's different numbers of souls within two types of beings. Maybe there could be a being with two souls or three souls. That's just one way to begin to try to understand the logical possibility. Again, the Bible's not saying there is one God and there are three gods. That would be a logical impossibility. The Bible is saying there is one God in three persons. He is one being, three persons. So this is not logically impossible, even though it's very difficult to understand. And that, again, shouldn't surprise us. God is not something we should expect we can understand or just comprehend, like we can figure him out. He's so much higher than us, we should expect there to be some mystery to him. But there are other illustrations that might be helpful to get us thinking in that direction. I'll offer another one. Cerberus. Cerberus is from Greek mythology, and Cerberus is a creature an animal-like creature that has three different heads. And Cerberus does different things. I don't need to talk about that. And by the way, again, I'm not comparing God to Cerberus. I'm not saying he's like Cerberus. But what I am saying is that Cerberus, a three-headed being, is something that could help us understand that, yeah, there are things out there that we can imagine that make logical sense that are one being and yet three distinct persons. Cerberus is one being. There's only one of him. And yet there are three distinct heads that each have their own personality and have their own persons, if you will. Now God, of course, is going to be different from that. God's not connected together. He doesn't have to be in the same place. They're going to be significant differences in the way the Trinity works and the way that works, but it's an illustration of a three-person, one-being concept. Another one is think about dimensions. If you picture a cube and it has the different sides as a box folded up, that would be a three-dimensional object. But let's say that you existed in the two-dimensional world. You only had two dimensions. You had no depth to you whatsoever. And you were looking at a three-dimensional box. Well, it wouldn't really look three-dimensional to you. You don't have a concept in your brain of three dimensions. You would just see a flat surface. And it wouldn't really make sense for you to think in three dimensions because you only know two dimensions. Well, similarly, we are three-dimensional beings. Well, you can say four-dimensional. We exist in time. But there are scientists who will say that there are actually 10 dimensions in the universe. Now, I don't understand that. I'm not a physicist, and I certainly am not going to try to break that down for you. But there are many more than four dimensions in the universe, according to many physicists. So perhaps we, existing in the four-dimensional world, when we look at something like the Trinity, we see it looks like there can only be one, but yet if we could see it from God's angle, we can see how there could be three persons in this one being. So I offer those to you as illustrations of the logical possibility that God can be three and one. We don't have any direct observational proof. We don't have any way of knowing that is how God is, other than he has revealed himself to us in the scriptures, in the Bible. God has told us there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and one God. And so we can trust that. We can trust the Bible because of all of the evidence that supports it. And there's nothing logically contradictory. It's beyond our understanding. And like I said yesterday, I don't understand how my iPhone works. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. And so I do believe that God is a triune God, and this helps or is the supporting structure, this concept of God, of all kinds of other major doctrines in the Bible. This explains how God could send God the Son to pay for your sin so that you could be forgiven of sin and that you can have Christ in you through the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with God. And all of these things point to God's love for you, his plan for you, the salvation that he has accomplished for you. And so I simply hope that through this week, and you can go and read the summary of this week on the Facebook site, Trust the Bible, I hope that it will give you the ability to trust that the Trinity is true, and therefore trust the Bible, and don't be misled by those who would question and say, oh, the Trinity doesn't make any sense. It does make sense, even though it's hard to understand. It is how God reveals himself to us. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.